Today is Open Worship Chapel, and I'm glad to see the attendance here. It's crossed my mind to call this Free Donut Chapel and then just trick everyone to showing up, because Open Worship is an odd chapel if you've never experienced it before, and it can be a tough chapel even if you have. What Open Worship Chapel is where we sit in silence, where we experience the presence of God. And if someone feels compelled, they stand and share what God has for them. Why do we do this? Well, the early Quakers did not do baptism or communion. Why? Because they saw day in and day out, Sunday in and Sunday out, people going to church, taking the bread, taking the juice, getting baptized as an infant, even getting baptized as an adult, and saw their lives not being changed in any meaningful way. How many of you have ever been in a Sunday like that where you've taken communion and it's just something you do? I grew up in a church like that. Quakers realized that there has to be something deeper than this. So they came up with open worship. Because when you sit in silence, when you remove distraction, you recognize how much of the divine presence is around you. How much of the Holy Spirit is flowing around you, how much of the presence of God is all around you, and you realize if grace is an ocean, you are sinking. And what a better baptism than that. And they also realize that when we sit in silence and listen to one another, we not only let God speak to us, we also let God speak through us and to us through other people. We realize that worship cannot exist without listening to what God has to say through other people. And guess what? God is not a respecter of persons. God does not only speak through the popular people or the smart people or the pretty people. God speaks through everybody through whom he wills. So if we are to truly worship and listen to God, we have to listen to him through each and every one of you. And that means removing any sort of disparaging thoughts you may have against somebody. And when you do that, you realize, I really am communing with the saints. I really am communing with God. I truly am tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Why do we practice this today? The economist John Maynard Keynes said this in the 1920s. He said, with the rate that technology is going, all of us will work about 7 to 8 hours a week. And then we'll have the rest of the week off to do whatever we want. Has that happened? No. We have more technology than any point in time in history, yet we are working longer hours. And the only nation without mandatory vacations, we work from sunup to sundown. And even when we're off work, we are constantly connected. We are bombarded with noise. And so open worship is a chance to get away from that noise. The call to worship I have is a quote from George Fox. It should be up on the screen. But stand still in that which is pure. Think about what technology has done. I'm not against technology. I love technology. I love having the newest thing. But I realize just as soon as I own my new iPhone 6 Plus, my iPhone 6 Plus owns me. Because I cannot function without it. And oftentimes, technology interrupts and corrupts what is pure. What is a conversation face-to-face is now a text message or Snapchat. What is a sweet goodnight kiss is now the first nude pic you send to your boyfriend or girlfriend. What is a calm discussion about differing issues is now hate speech thrown up on a message board or in a comment section. What is all the noise and all the connectivity gotten us? Because I guarantee you we're more connected than at any point in human history, but I also would say we are more disconnected. Would you agree? Open worship is a time to stand in that which is pure. Silence. Because when you're silent and when you're away from your phone, away from technology, and I would ask that you put them away, you're left with yourself. And you're left with God. So all the things, all the hurts, all the pains, all the sins, all the struggles that you try to medicate through distraction, are going to come to the surface. But guess what? God is here. He wants to help you with those things. We do open worship because the world has gotten too fast. Jesus was eminently countercultural, and we should be as well. So we're going to sit in silence, and it's going to be difficult. Robert Barclay, the theologian, said there's nothing more difficult for a person than just to be still and be quiet. And the first 10 minutes, you're going to be miserable, and you're going to be distracted, and you're going to have all sorts of thoughts. And guess what? Those thoughts happen. Whenever you feel distracted, you take a deep breath, and you find your center. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, you'll find a peace you probably have not felt in a while, because how long has it been since you've been silent besides sleep? Maybe you guys snore. Maybe it's not silent. And then the peace transcends this place. And then you may feel the Lord tugging at your heart saying, I need to say something. Now, this is not look at me. This is not open mic night. This is not let me impress all of you with how holy I am. Because guess what? We will not be impressed. But if you feel God overwhelming you like it's overwhelming Robert right now to stand up and share, you stand up and I will bring you the microphone and you share God's word. Most people sneak out when they leave open worship chapel. Robert just marches out. This is a time to be still and know that God is God. And recognize we can't do anything without him. And recognize that with God, nothing else matters. And without God, nothing else matters. So let's take a deep breath. Breathe out. Kevin Mortimer is going to share a few words about the theology of open worship. And during this time, I want you to just be still. Listen to your breathing. Calm your hearts. And be ready for the Lord to speak to us today. Kevin?
It's a major step in the path, in our Christian path, is learning to the reality that every one of us is called. Everyone is called by God. There's nobody left out. Christ died for all. And so that reality should sink into every one of our experience. It doesn't matter what your major is. God is calling you. And so you are personally important to God. Next slide. We think that sometimes Christianity is instant gratification, but in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, it talks about the 10 virgins waiting on the bridegroom. And so there's a sense of life in this world, in this kingdom, of this waiting upon God. And this past summer was a fantastic experience for me to journey alongside Lauren and Corbin Kellum as they prepared to get married. And part of that excitement was that I had a good friend that I journeyed with through a number of years of my life. His name is Kelly Kellum, related to Corbin, his uncle. And the excitement for me in the waiting was that Kelly was going to be coming to Corbin's wedding and that Kelly would be able to stay at our house. And so that sense of waiting, a lot of times we struggle with waiting. And in marriage, I remember when I was engaged, wow, it was like you're counting the days until you can get married. It's a pretty major thing. And so that waiting, we want instant gratification, but the waiting is about honestly, that's why I'm about short engagements. It's a good waiting. So, but I was waiting, and Kelly Kellum showed up, and I think it was Nate Perrin was not prepared. We'll just say it. He was the virgin that was not prepared, if we put him in the story. He did not have his tuxedo. Oh, okay, good. It's Corbin's mom. Okay, good. So somewhere, and so Kelly and I were standing there. I just saw Kelly call me when he got in town. He says, hey, we can go to Wichita and get that. And I says, yeah, absolutely. But it was because we were excited that we would spend time together. And so we drove all the way to Town East, got his tuxedo, and came back, and we ate ice cream. We talked the whole time about good times and everything. So when we're waiting, it's a waiting with expectation, a waiting of excitement. So this waiting sense, waiting worship, is about that. Secondly, is listening. Listening, learning to listen to the ever-present voice of God. What does it mean to listen? In the past, there were different people that spoke into my life. And this last summer, I was reminded of that when I went to Cap Quaker Heights, and Maggie Rohr was giving a bit of a talk before I came up to open up our time of learning to go out and wait and listen upon God. Why it was encouraging for me to hear Maggie talk is because her grandpa Joe had learned the secret of practicing God's presence, and I was all ears to hear what Joe Rohr had to say. In fact, I was moving to Houston, Texas, was an opportunity for me to be closer to Joe, because Joe knew something that other ministers, other pastors did not know. This is strange for me to say this. But what Joe had learned, he had learned to listen, to enter into practicing God's presence. And it was interesting, when I went to Iowa, there's another guy by the name of Chuck Orweiler. Anybody ever heard of him? Anybody from Colorado? First Denver Friends? He came and presented to the pastors at Camp Quaker Heights. And you know what he presented? He presented the stuff that Joe Rohr had shared when I was down in Texas. Chuck Orweiler was ready to listen as well. When we find somebody that knows something, we become quiet and we listen. So waiting and listening precedes following. We learn, we receive bread for the journey and purpose for our life in following that voice, following what we've learned to listen to. It's people like Eugene Peterson and Henry Nouwen and Brendan Manning. You guys have probably heard of them just because you have them as part of your textbooks that you're supposed to read. But they had learned in this waiting and listening and following to hear God's voice, and they followed, and their lives were changed. I'm not going to read the scripture. I'm going to let you guys read the scriptures up there. But the scripture in the last one, let's go back one, John 4:31-34, is that the disciples show up and say, hey, I've got some food. We've got some food for you. Have you eaten yet? And he says, I have food that you don't seem to know anything about. My food is to do the will of the Father, to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Well, guess what? That is the daily bread that each of us needs, the spiritual food, to hear from the Father what God's designs are for us. So this waiting, listening, and following is hearing the voice of God for the purpose and direction of our life as we journey towards that, in a sense, that wedding date with the bridegroom who's waiting for us. So as you enter into open worship this morning, let's go to the next slide, and I want to just leave this one up here for you to learn the voice of God, and it transforms our lives, and the kingdom of God breaks in. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the next phrase that not everybody gets to. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's just leave that there. This is the activity of waiting, listening, and then following. It becomes not just a time of silence where we listen and wait, but it becomes the activity of our lives in waiting, listening, and following.